Well, good morning. A big thank you. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that did a lot of work and got up early to make that happen. So we really hope you enjoyed it. And a big round of applause for all the people behind the scenes. As a church, we don't put on these skits just for the sake of having a skit. Stonebridge isn't a pipeline to Broadway, although after what you just witnessed, you might not believe me. But what we want to do, the reason why we do this, the reason why we do anything in the month of December is to point us to the amazing gift of Jesus on Christmas, that God arrived on earth in flesh to save us, that is worth celebrating year after year after year, because we can grow so callous in the hardness of our hearts. Christmas is about the moment that God arrived, a moment that changed everything. Because just like we saw in that skit, God wants to communicate. Christmas is God's communicative act to the world. God wanted to send a message unlike any other had ever been sent in history. And the question of our skit and the question I want us to wrestle with this morning is, how do we respond to the message of God? That's what the play was about, and I want us to keep thinking about this same question. So if you've got a Bible, if you've brought one, we got Bibles in the pews. If you're online, we'll have the verses up on the screen. But we want to open up to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. If you're using the church Bible, that's page 1860. If you're using your own Bible, I'm sorry, but I can't help you on page numbers. Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to start at the very first line. Here is the word of the Lord. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. There is probably not a more beautiful sentence ever written than those four verses, because that is actually one sentence in the Greek. And it reveals so clearly and so beautifully the heart of our God. The creator of the universe, the one who set everything up, is a God of relationship. He wants to communicate to his creation. God speaks. The God of the universe speaks. Think about that for a moment. When you speak, you are implying a desire for some sort of relationship. If you have absolutely no desire to know someone, then what do you do in life? You avoid them. You look for any way to avoid a person so that you don't have to communicate to them, because you do not have an interest in relationship with them. Someone at your job, maybe someone that you live nearby, you don't like this person for whatever reason, and what do? You avoid them because you do not desire a relationship. But when you speak to someone, when you especially go out of your way to speak to someone, you are expressing that you desire a relationship. And that is what the creator of the universe does. Who is this creator? Think about it. We live in this universe, and the more telescopes that we send into space, the more we learn about this amazing creation that we call the universe. That whoever set this thing up has to be unimaginably big. That there was a moment this universe was created. Both the field of astrophysics affirms this, as well as the field of philosophy, because it's impossible to have an infinite number of moments in the past. So whoever this creator was, whoever started this thing we call the universe, would have to be uncaused, timeless, outside of time, would have to be non-physical, because physicality comes into being in a moment, and unimaginably powerful. Some sort of infinite being, some greatest possible being, a being without any limitations. When we look at the universe and when we look from what we've learned from examining the universe, we know that this thing is so big that whoever created it, whoever kickstarted it, is unimaginably big, powerful, and unlike any other being that we know in this universe. And what is so crazy to me is that when we look at the vastness and hugeness of our universe, and we start thinking about the one, some being, some unknown being for now, who created that, that that is who wants to communicate to us. In some corner of a little rock hurling around a sun, that the God of the universe, who created more galaxies than we can count, is interested in you and me on this little rock with lifespans that barely get to 100 years. That this is the God who speaks. And Hebrews tells us that God has always been speaking. It starts off verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And I think that word prophet there, it's just a very general sense of the word prophet. Someone who speaks for God, to include everybody in the Old Testament through whom God has spoken. Moses, Joshua, David, as well as all of the latter prophets that make up the section of the Bible we call the prophets. But this is a creator who is interested in the affairs of mankind. A God who is communicating all over the place in a variety of ways, Hebrews says, because he cares. He is interested in having a relationship with his creation. That this is the God. When we use this word God, referring to a deity, right, some ultimate being, this is the God that we're talking about. An infinite creator who wants to communicate to his creation because he cares for them. But the author of Hebrews makes clear that God has spoken in lots of times, in lots of ways, all throughout history. But there is one decisive moment when God makes the clearest, most beautiful communicative act that he has ever made, is when his son arrives on earth. That it is Christmas, Hebrews says, is that this is the momentous, the most beautiful, the crowning crescendo announcement of God to the world about their creator. That God put on flesh at Christmas. The baby in the manger is the God-man who has come to communicate God's word to us. And the author of Hebrews uses this phrase, in the last days. This is Old Testament language to talk about the coming Messiah and the kingdom that he's going to set up. But just to make it easy, in the last days is a phrase that refers to the entire AD calendar. And it's got some end date on it, not sure when. But God has spoken through his son. God has communicated to us at Christmas in the most beautiful, wonderful way. God has something to say. And as I was thinking about this Christmas play, you know, we look through a lot of plays trying to figure out what we're going to do each year. And there was just something about this play that just captured what I thought was just the essence of this passage in Hebrews. That God wants to communicate to us. And that Christmas is something that we get into this routine of doing year after year. You know, I've been here for 9 years now. I've been in 8 Christmas skits or plays. It starts to get in this routine. Right? Christmas becomes normal. And the older we get, the more that sometimes piles on us. But I wanted to pause this morning to just marvel in the fact that the creator of the universe, the God, the being who is so unlike anything we know, is interested in talking to us. And it's Christmas that is his big communicative act. It is him speaking to you. It's him speaking to me. That God cares enough to communicate, but not just to communicate, to initiate the conversation. Because think about dating. You know a relationship has potential if both parties are texting one another. I know from repeated experience that when I have to start every conversation and they respond in very minimal fashion, that relationship is going nowhere. But when the other person is sending the first text, the other person reaches out for the moment for the first time that day in a dating relationship, as an example, you know that there might be something to this relationship because the other person is initiating conversation. It's a good sign that they might just be interested in you. And I'm not comparing dating to God, just the initiation of conversation. That when God takes the first step to speak, it tells us something about his heart. And Christmas, the baby in the manger, is God's initiation to speak in the last days through his son so that we might be saved. That God cares about the affairs of humanity. God wants to be known. More than that, God wants us to live in the manner in which he has designed us to live. And so what is the big message of Christmas? What is God trying to say? What did God want to communicate through his son in these last days? Flip back to the first chapter of John. John chapter 1. Doing a lot of chapter 1s today. But John is going to answer that question. What was God wanting to say? John chapter 1, this whole chapter is just a beautiful chapter, but we're going to start in verse 9. John chapter 1, starting in verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who has come after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." That John, unlike the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, doesn't give us an actual narrative of the story of the birth of Jesus. But John thinks through what Christmas really means as he opens his book. And what is this great communicative act of God? What was God doing with the sending of his son? It was to be a part of the family of God. That the message that God is speaking at Christmas, the giant communicative act when God steps into flesh, is an invitation to become a part of God's family. But there's a problem. And verse 11 tells us the problem, right? As John's thinking about the coming of Jesus, it says, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." That right there is the heart of humanity. Mankind is actually not interested in the things of God. The natural state of man is to ignore God. That Hebrews told us, right? God spoke through the prophets in various times and in various places and all throughout history. And yet, the natural response to God communicating is to just ignore him. To just put it aside. To not take seriously that the Creator, God, the most powerful, infinite being in the universe, has something to say to us. That it is a sad, sad state of affairs. To think about the fact that us as humans, and us as, we are all part of humanity, that we often don't listen to God. Don't gloss over this section in verse 11, because this speaks to the problem that God came to fix. Because what makes us more sad in this life than to see the breakdown of a family? We hear stories of maybe one or two parents who want nothing to do with their kids. And it just breaks our heart. Or maybe on the flip side, we hear stories of parents who are trying to reach out to their kids, and their kids want nothing to do with them. And maybe that story is yours. And maybe if you're in that situation this morning, this is just so hard to hear. And I just want to say as a church, we mourn with you that it is so sad. It cuts so deep. And we know how hard holidays can be in situations like those. And so as a local church, we do want to mourn with anyone in that situation when family relationships go astray. And that our hope and our desire and everything that we do here at Stonebridge is that this would be a place where you can feel safe and where all the followers of Jesus are invited into the family of God, which is what we're trying to be here at Stonebridge. That we want to be the type of church that walks with people through the pains of life without ever pulling away, because that's what Jesus has done for us. That this is the message of Christmas. That family relationships are some of the most wonderful things, and the invitation of Jesus to all of humanity is to come be a part of his family. Come be a part of a family where relationships are restored, where forgiveness and restoration can happen, and where we can do what we were designed to do. That in this picture of Jesus inviting everyone to become children of God, we are the children who have gone astray. We are the prodigal son, to use the parable Jesus says in Luke, that we are the ones who have walked away, and Jesus is calling us back. How? By sending himself, by putting on flesh. The word became flesh Christmas morning so that we can be who we were made to be, children in relationship with God. So what does God say through Jesus? What is the message? Verse 12, I just want to read it again. It's beautiful. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The giant communicative act of Christmas is that to all who receive him and believe in him, become children of God. To receive Jesus, this language of reception, it's to recognize his authority and submit to it. That's how John uses this word all through his book, all through the Gospel of John. That do we recognize God is in the flesh? Jesus is no ordinary man. That is not even an option on the table. He is the God-man, and human beings are supposed to relate to God in recognition of God's authority over their entire lives. That when we see Jesus, we see the God who has a right and a responsibility and the authority to have a say over our lives. And the question of Christmas, and really the question of all of life, is will we listen and respond to the message of Jesus? That this is the question we all have to answer for ourselves. Who do you listen to? Whose voice, whose input is the one that matters when you have to make a decision? Whose voice do you follow? When you think about the most authoritative voice in your life, who is the one they say, okay, that's the one I'm going to follow? Is it your family? Is it your friends? Is it people online? Is it our political tribal leaders? Is it our own feelings and desires? Because the reality is we all listen to someone. When we have to make decision after decision, moment after moment, when we have choices to make, we are actually responding to some sort of voice of authority. Someone's input or someone's communication is making an advice that you are eventually following, whether that's the advice of someone external or your own heart and desire. And I would venture that in our society today, we are taught by our culture to follow our own voice, to let our own feelings and desires shape our decisions. That's basically the underlying message in most modern Disney movies these days, to follow your heart. But to follow your heart just leads to death and destruction. This is why God spoke through the incarnation. This is why Christmas matters. Because when God arrived on earth in the person of Jesus, it was to invite us out of death and destruction and darkness and to come into the light, the life and health that is found only in living as we were created to live in the family and in relationship with God, where he is our God and Lord and Savior, meaning we follow his voice, meaning we follow his will, meaning that we have oriented our entire lives around saying, God is Lord, and I'm following him no matter what. That this is a whole life commitment. And I know John uses that language in verse 12, to those who believe in his name. And in our culture today, the word believe is often used just to describe kind of our mental state, like a mental acceptance of a statement. I mentally assent to some truth proposition. But that's not how the Bible uses that word believe. That God's desire is not that we would just add to our list of things we acknowledge mentally his existence. God is not wanting us to say like, hey, I believe this flower exists. Hey, I believe the moon exists. Hey, I mentally acknowledge that there's a God out there. That's not the type of belief that God is interested in. His desire is that we would follow him wholeheartedly for our own good, for his own sake. That when John writes that we would believe in his name, it is a call to a completely different way of living, where every last part of our lives are committed to saying, I want to live all of life in service to Jesus. My job, my family, my desires, the way I use my time, all of it. That my identity, who I am, who I understand myself to be, is not as this autonomous person floating in the universe who has to figure out their way through their life, whether from the advice of others or from my own feelings and guts and desires. That to be a child of God is to say, I belong now to the family of God. I have a father who cares. I have a brother, Hebrews will call Jesus, someone who died for me, someone who cares for me and who can walk through life because he has experienced all of the hurt and pain and he knows what it's like so that I can walk through life following him. But this is the message that Christmas introduces us to. God is communicating, be a part of my family. Not just because God's some egotistical maniac, but because it's actually for our good. That it is actually the best way to live that leads to life and health and fullness and doesn't lead to death and destruction and hurt. This is the ultimate message of God. This is what Jesus is all about. This is what the Bible is all about. And honestly, we teach a lot at Stonebridge, like most churches, and this is a message that we are trying to communicate over and over again. That you could flesh this message out, this communicative act of God to the world through the entire Bible. But I wanted to read this section in John because I think it just helps paint the full message of Jesus and of Christmas. Let me just quickly run through it again. Verse 8, right? That the true light that gives life has come into the world at Christmas when the Word became flesh, that he has come to shine light into the darkness. That verse 11 says we are trapped in darkness and Jesus came to lead us out of the darkness to become children of God. And he does that, verse 16, by grace, right? Through the free gift of God. Not something that we have to do, not something that we can earn, not something that we can work hard enough to achieve, but that grace upon grace has been given to us through Jesus. And then lastly, verse 18, how do you know God? You know God through Jesus. I love verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. That this statement speaks to the radical reality of what happened at Christmas. Because for the entire Old Testament time, God is communicating through the Old Testament all over the place. And one of the biggest things in the Old Testament is that we worship an imageless God. That God has no physical form. He is imageless, which is why in the Old Testament they were commanded over and over again, don't make any idols because you cannot capture the essence of an infinite being in some physical form. That's why when you read the descriptions of the temple, unlike every other temple that we've ever found in history, the Old Testament temple, there's no images on it except for things like flowers and other plants and stuff. It's unlike any other temple ever built because it's not about the image in the temple. It's about the God who is over all and through all. But on Christmas morning, the invisible God, the imageless God, becomes visible. That God puts on flesh, which is why verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God. But you want to know what God looks like? He looks like Jesus. That this is God's communication to us at Christmas. If we follow the God-man, we become children of God. Today's little Christmas skit, as fun as it was, I think it asks such a serious question. How do you respond when God speaks? If Jesus has come, if everything I'm saying is true, if everything that the Bible has recorded about history is true, then we are left with the question, how will you respond when God speaks? Do we respond like Lady? Are we not really interested in getting to know the true Jesus? Are we more like Dude, where we learn about Jesus from sources other than Jesus himself? Are we like Drew and Daisy, who just see Jesus as a way to get stuff to benefit ourselves? Are we like Charlie, who can say all the right things, but who actually isn't interested in getting to know Jesus? Or are we like Emma, a true child of God, who wants to spend time with Jesus and listen to what he has to say? Maybe you don't relate to any of those characters. But I want us just to pause right now. And I want you to seriously wrestle with this question. How do you respond to Jesus when Jesus speaks? Do you push him away? Or do you draw even closer? Is your life one that keeps Jesus at bay? Is your life one where you run straight into his arms, the arms of the Father? That this is the question, not just of this morning and not just of life, but this is the question of Christmas. That Christmas is the big reveal that God speaks through his Son. That the baby in the manger is a clear sign of the communicative act that God cares for you, that God is involved in your life. His invitation to the good life, not defined by our desires, but defined by our Creator, who intricately designed and created us and knows what's best for us. I can't answer that question for you. No one can respond to the Christmas message except you alone. How do you respond to the light that has come into the world? Will you remain in the darkness, in the futility of living for yourself, listening to your inner voice or the opinions of the culture that you find yourself in? Or will you listen to the voice of God, the God who became flesh to make us his children? That this is Christmas. I know no better way to say that this is the message of Christmas. Not the gifts, not the parties, not the decorations, the time off work, anything else, but the arrival of God. Because when God arrives, he speaks. And the question of Christmas is, will we listen? So we're going to call the worship team up for one final song. And we want to resonate with this question, think through this question, that when God speaks, how do we respond? And if Christmas is God's clear communicator to ask, how will we respond to Christmas? Let me pray real quick. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. Lord, it's fun to do something a little different. But I just pray that we wouldn't walk out of here without wrestling, Lord, with who you are. Lord, the ultimate question, does the creator of this cosmos even care about us? You answered in the affirmative. Lord, you said yes because you showed up. Lord, to make us your children, to invite us into your family, Lord, and to provide a new way forward. Lord, a way unlike anything else the world has ever seen. So God, I just pray for all of us. Lord, start with me, but Lord, I pray for all of us that we would respond, Lord, in gratitude and love and wholehearted service to the God who cares. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.